Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
Amen. If you'll open up your Bible with me, church, this morning, I want to share with you my topic is integrity traits of a godly father. Integrity traits of a godly father. I was battling him because I was thinking of just saying father, but then I said, when you're in Christ, we're called to be godly. Amen. So I just want to encourage all the fathers. And this message is not just for fathers. It is part for fathers, but I believe all of us can grasp something, get something from this. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. And amen when you have it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. And it reads, the righteous man walks in his integrity. But then notice what it says next. His children are blessed after him. I was watching a short clip about a father. He's sharing something. And it caught my attention because he's talking about, and I'm not saying he was a believer because I just saw a short clip. But he's talking about how every day in the morning, he goes out and works out every day. And he says, and my son sees that. Every day my son sees that I go and work out. And it came to the point where my son by himself asked if he could accompany me to the gym. So now he says, me and my son work out together. And I say all this because he said something. He says, my son does what he sees his father do daily. Byproduct of what he sees me do. This scripture that I read, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed. Notice what it says. After him. Integrity in a father, they say, is one of the most powerful legacies he can pass on to his children. Number one, it shapes the household. Number two, it's going to build trust. And thirdly, because we're believers in Christ, men, fathers, it sets a godly standard. And I want to share with you a few traits of a godly father. Number one, it's a word we all know, and it's the word honesty. Honesty. 4 days ago, I listened to a message. I've been to that church in Murrieta. It was a conference, camp meeting conference. And one of the speakers, that gave the message. I had not heard a message like that. And the message was about truth. So he's teaching, preaching about truth, but then he also started talking about lying. How easy it is now, how people, and even in the church, they make it a habit so easily just to lie. No honesty. It's too quiet right here this morning. They're not honest. Lie. And I had not heard a message like that. It got my attention. That, in other words, just be real about it. Don't exaggerate. Just be honest. And honesty, the Bible says, you don't have to go there because it's going to be quite a few scriptures. I'll let you know if I want you to put it on. But Ephesians 4:25 says this. Therefore, putting away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. How many know that it's important, church? Hear me out. That it's better to speak truth even when it's hard, fathers. Even when it's hard. Are you guys with me? I'm going to make it very simple. Kindergarten style. Honesty is also what? Keeping our word. Fathers, we need to keep our word. If you say something to your children or your spouse, let's keep our word. Oh, mañana, later. We'll see. And I'm not saying there will be times where you just can't, because there's a big reason why we can't. Something happened, an emergency. You understand what I'm saying? But the Bible, even Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And there's times, church, that there's people that, I've seen this before, there's people that don't know how to say no. Fathers don't know how to say no. Husbands don't know how to say no to the wife. They're frightening. Well, if I say no, I don't know what's going to happen. But there's nothing, church, there's nothing like just keeping it real and just be honest. We don't have to lie and we don't have to avoid. We don't have to manipulate. And there's times also, church, that us fathers, there's going to be times where we have to, us, nobody else, we, as a father, there's times where we're going to have to admit when we're wrong. Amen? And let me say this. Let's be honest even when it's not convenient. Amen? So let's be honest, fathers. Let's keep it real. If we can't, we can't. If we can and we say yes, let's keep our word. And let's always speak the truth. You know, there's times, church, where I am with my wife. I know she's there, but she was here. There's times that I have to have real conversations with her. When I know things are not okay. And you know what happens? You got to be real. You got to be truthful. And say, you know what? This is what I see. Why, church? Because there's nothing like being honest. Why live a life, hear me, why live a life of no honesty? Always hiding, never speaking the truth. And that's part of what? A trait of godly integrity. Are you ready for number two? I don't think you like number one so good. So let's go to number two. Let's bump it up. Number two. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Church, if you want to see the blessing of the Lord upon your life, be faithful. Be faithful. Even when others are not faithful. I like this phrase. I don't know who wrote this, but it says a lot. It says, God did not call us to be famous. He called us to be faithful. Amen. Just be faithful. And the Bible says, because I'm giving you scripture, 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found what? Faithful. How can we be loyal and faithful? Number one, church, number one, always be loyal, faithful to God first. If you're married, be loyal to your wife, faithful to your wife. Only two amens. And one was half. Your children and our responsibilities. Let us be people of honor. Honor your commitments. Fathers, honor church. Let's honor our commitments. At home, at work, and at church. And this is something that we're called to model with consistency. A devotion that we have towards God that they see. Very important. That we keep, once again, church, here I go. We're going to do whatever we got to do to what? To keep our word. Amen. So faithfulness. Be faithful. No matter what, church. Even if it's not popular. Even regardless, be faithful. Number three, accountability. Accountability. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may, look what it says, that you may be what? That you may be healed. I heard another message. The preacher was saying that a lot of people are committed in everything in church. He says, but there's a lot of them also that are not healed. They're not healed. They need healing. And this was a men's conference. They need healing. Healing, interior healing. And it says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So what is accountability? Accountability is that when we admit when we're wrong, but we also what? We seek, we look for what? Forgiveness. There's times, church, even us men, it's hard. Well, at least I speak for myself. Sometimes, you know, with your wife or whatever, you know, to be real and say, you know what? Because we always think men, we sometimes think we know we're always right. Amen. But when we're wrong, with all hurt and everything, it's to admit, but at the same time, seek for the forgiveness. Let me tell you something, church. When there's forgiveness, there is healing. And God is the healer. Men, women, God is the healer. And so if anything, if there's any pain in you, you're hurting, don't forget God is the healer. He's your healer. Amen? Hallelujah. And we do need accountability. Why also, church? Because we need to hear and learn from others. A spiritual brother or sister or mentor that's going to pour in your life, that's going to be a blessing to your life. A mentor, someone that's been there, done that. And when we're wrong, we're wrong. And let me say this, church. May we never be afraid and we never be negative about it, that when we're in need of something, that God can help us. And God can help us because God can use a person. God can use a leader. God can use a pastor. God can use anyone. And we all need accountability in some way. Do you know what I mean? Accountability? Accountability is that you give an account to someone when they ask you, hey, brother, how you doing? Or sister, how you doing? Keep it real. And say, you know what? Not too good at the moment. Did you hear? At the moment. But I'm believing God that things are going to get better. Things are going to get better. And you give a word of encouragement. Or you pour in into that person. Because in the first place, if someone gets close to you, or someone speaks with you, there's a reason for it. That's because they might see something in you. That maybe, you know, you're spiritually fit. That's the best word I could come up with. Amen. That you're spiritually strong and you could give a word of encouragement. And that's why a trait of a godly father is what? Is accountability. And we also teach our children that they own their own actions, church. Don't ever see that as a waste of time or that they don't listen. You know what I've learned? Is that when you sit with a person, just you and that person, your son or your daughter, you sit, it's just you two, and you pour in that person and you teach them, they listen. It might seem like they don't, but there's some seeds that you're sowing in there. That nobody's going to rescue them, that they got to take full responsibility. I just had, where's my son at? Oh, there he is. And he'll tell you, I just had a hard conversation with them a few days ago. Now, not because I'm being hard on him. That's my son. I love my son and I want the best for him. But I tell them, you know, you got to take full responsibility. Don't wait on nobody. I'm your father. I'm here. You ask me and I'll give you whatever I've learned or whatever I can. I go, but you need to. And I'm not going to tell you what we talked about. I know you want to know, but I ain't going to tell you. But and don't go after the break. Hey, what was that your dad talking about? Trying to get the scoop. But it was a good conversation. And I'm not saying I might not do it all correctly, but I'm sure he gets what I'm trying to tell him. But at the end of the day, I'm his father. He lives with me. He's my son. He's not a little kid anymore. And, you know, may the Lord help us, church. May the Lord help us, because nobody's going to do it better than as a father, amen, or a mother, or a family. And we can't wait on anybody out there. It starts with us. Give the Lord a clap offering. And let's go to number four. Responsibility. Responsibility. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than who? Than an unbeliever. Wow. So what he's saying is that us as believers, we're called to provide for our own household, my family. But the Bible says, but if he doesn't, he has denied the faith. And the Bible says that you're worse than someone that's not a believer in Christ. Wow. So we need to get our act together. Responsibility. A father, he's what? Called to be what? A provider. Don't matter what you eat. Even if it's whatever it is, whatever it takes, there should have, let me say something, church. There should be no shame at the moment wherever you're working. Somehow you got to provide. We're called to provide. If it's McDonald's, I'm just doing examples. It should never be a shame because at the end of the day, work is work. Now that is not to say you're going to stay there forever unless you become a franchise owner. Well, now we're talking. Amen. Praise God. I should have wrote the name, a lady, how she came from Mexico, United States, didn't know no English nor nothing, but she had her number one cheerleader was her mother. And everything she was saying, how she started, and every time she would like pass a test or she got hired at a job, her mom always pushed her. Part of it, she says, you know, now I believe it was a realtor agent. She says, now I'm doing realtor. I'm a realtor now. And the mom says, her mom encourages, now don't just stay there. She says, don't get comfortable. Goes, now think about having your own office, your own company. You know what I'm saying? Church. But what you do have right now, be grateful for it. Be faithful to it. But always have that fire in you that you want to do greater things. Amen? So we should never be ashamed. Long as we're providing, God will always take care of his children. Because at least speaking for me, I've been there. I've been there from the bottom. I worked, when we just got married, I always get this testimony, at Twin City in Calexico. But hear me out. Taking out sacks. I was already married. I was already a Christian. I was probably like 20, 21 years old. Part-time job. Going in, feeding, make sure. My gosh. Taking out snakes, reptiles, changing the animals, all that stuff. Sacks of food to the trucks. But look what the Lord does. Never. I don't think she's here today. The owner of that place, his sister, Sister Josie, comes here in English. We met there. But never in 1,000 years would I ever think that I would be her pastor. But look what the Lord does. Amen. Look what the Lord does. And we're just talking about that the other day. And she's such a blessing. A huge blessing to the church. A giver. But what I'm saying, church, is that faithfulness. I was faithful there. I was faithful there. And it is the Lord just, when you're faithful to God, God always gives you upgrades. Amen. I'll just say it that way. So, responsibility. We should always, they should see in us, fathers, that we're always what? That we work hard, or nowadays they say, work hard, work smart, but we sacrifice. We sacrifice. And not just physical work, but also emotionally and spiritually, most important. Amen. That they could come to you, Father, and say, you know what, I'm going through this situation. You think you could pray for me, Dad or Father? Can you keep me in prayer? I saw another story of a young girl. She was at the university. And that day, she was going through something very, very, very hard. It's a true story because I recorded it. And she calls her mom, and her mom answers, and she tells her, Mom, I'm going through this, and that, stressing out, don't know what to do. And they show the video when the daughter, she's at the gym. So guess what happened? The importance of a father and a mother, or a father or a mother. You know what they did? They left everything that they were doing after the conversation. They got on their vehicle and they drove 2 hours just to be there for their daughter. And they show when she's on the treadmill walking. And when she turns and sees her mom and her dad, gets off, jumps on her mom and dad, and hugs them. The importance, church. Are you hearing me this morning? The importance of your what? Your presence. Being a father, hear me, church, this is very important. Doesn't stop even when you're very tired. It don't stop even when you're tired. You're going to do whatever you got to do. Give the Lord a praise this morning. Amen. You guys want the other ones? Might as well, huh? The Spanish better wait. Number 5, humility. Micah chapter 6 verse 8 says this. Know, O people, the New Living Translation says it this way. Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you. To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Church, we're called to walk what? Humbly with our God. What does that mean? That means that we don't know it all, church. We don't know it all. And we might not be the best father, the best mother, the best family. So guess what? We need God. Humility is when one recognizes and says, you know what? I need God. I need God in this situation right here. I need Jesus. Always remember that, church. That we need God. And when we have hard conversations with other people, that we be open, we value opinions of others, especially in your home. If you have a father, if you still have your father or your mother, you could get a lot of wisdom from them. Come on, somebody. Don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. I know we don't like to hear it. Amen. Hallelujah. And what a blessing, church. What a blessing if you still have us adults, if you still have your father or your mother, what a blessing. Amen. And if you don't, we're grateful that at one time we had them. You know, the Bible says, church, honor your father and your mother so that your days will be long. These younger generation, they don't know about that. You want to live long? Listen to me, young adult, teenagers, you or anyone. Honor your father and your mother. Show them, the most you can show them that respect. Hallelujah. May we always pray to God, and may we always show that our kids see, that they see in us, that we depend on God, we trust God. Yes, yes, we've been fortunate, we've been blessed to have, you know, great career, great job. We might have income, great income. We might have all the toys, but that they may see that we depend and trust in God. That they always see, that our children see that model, that they see, you know what, my parents, regardless, they had everything they've always wanted, but the one thing they've always had, they've always depended on Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. When you look at the life of Jesus, the perfect man, he's the greatest example of humility. And he was the model for the disciples and even to us. That even though he was God, he would pray to his Father. And he was faithful all the way to Calvary. And he took upon himself all of our sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number six, respect for others. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. There's nothing more powerful, church, to honor God first, but to honor your wife too. May the Lord help us that our children see how us fathers, we honor our wife. Because that's what they're going to see. That's how they're going to grow up. Honor. Respect. And may the Lord help us, especially us Mexicans. We come from that culture, machismo. That may the Lord help us, we may never belittle or abuse of our authority as men of the house. There's a time for everything, to use the authority as a male, a father in the home. But let's do it God's way. Amen. Not the Mexican. Mexican. There's a time when you use the authority. When there's times the wife gets out of hand too. So don't get all happy, sisters. Amen. Like, come on, pastor, preach. Keep it going. Wives get out of hand too. Amen. And you, the Bible says, respect the husband. Amen. Any amen, sisters? Wives, respect the husband. Men, love your wife. Trying to steal the whole show all the time. You get a chocolate bar at the movie and you still want the popcorn. Come on, chill. And at the end of the day, a home should be a place of honor, church. Not here, a place of honor and not what? Fear. Place of honor. You give honor to the wife, you give honor to the children. In other words, there's peace, there's love, there's unity within the family. Amen? Okay, quickly. I got two more. Let me break it down real quick. Consistency. Let Like what you're hearing right now, it might encourage you. It might say, you know what? The Lord spoke to me. I'm going to do this. But you got to be consistent tomorrow, Monday, too. Come on, church. Don't go there. Oh, Sunday only. You know, no. Monday's a new day. No. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Consistency. Titus 2:7. And you yourself, the New Living Translation says, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. How many know we're called to do good works? Amen. We are called to do what? Good works. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. What does that mean, church? Consistency with our integrity. Are you ready for this? I don't know if you're going to be able to handle this, but here it goes. We're the same person at home, work, at church, and in private. Amen? We don't live a double life. It's not Halloween yet. Chill. No, we don't celebrate Halloween. Let me fix it. Very important, church. Because what happens if there's no consistency, church? If there is no consistency, there's going to be what? Those around, especially us who are married, I remember that somebody said, you want to know how the husband is? Just ask the wife. Hey, how's... Oh, no, at the church? Ooh. It's got the wings, white. At home, it's a whole different ballgame. I'm just messing, just in case. We don't live a double life. Because if there's no consistency, if we're not constant, guess what? Your wife or our kids or those around us, they're going to, you know what's going to happen? They're going to lose trust in you and in me. They're going to lose trust. And even when it's hard, church, we show stability. Even in trials, we're consistent. You know, that's one of the things that I asked the Lord to help me. So one of my prayers is to keep my composure when the heat is strong. To not just go all crazy. Because what happens, church, when someone is really, really, really mad, sometimes people say things they shouldn't have said. And it seems like it's the same phrase all the time. But what if you can hold your composure and say, Lord, you take care of her. Handle her. Show her who they're messing with. And you know what? God will do it His way, but He'll do something. He'll stir the waters. Same thing with us men. The wife can say, Lord, you handle him. Amen. And how many know God knows how to check? God knows how to check us. Amen. And what's more powerful is when you recognize and say, you know what? Oh my gosh. I don't know what's happened to you, but there's times when I try to be a little silly or get out of hand, and then like I'm walking somewhere and I'll hit myself somewhere. And boom, that's what you get. That's happened to me. It's like, you better calm down, buddy. I'm gonna give you guys a true story because it happened at the water baptisms. So we're at the water baptisms, and it's divided in two. Oh, Pastor Franny was there. There was the one that's not deep, and the other one was very deep. So twice we had to do the deep one because taller, and the other ones were. So in one of them, there's like a divider of concrete in the middle. So me trying to be slick and fast, I rolled over. I look like a little whale right there, you know. But I rolled over, and when I rolled over, my feet, my right foot, my big toe hit the concrete. Oh, Lord have mercy. I just felt the pain. I was telling my wife this morning because it's all bruised up, and I was trying to play it off. She goes, nah. He goes, me and my sister, you were in pain. We saw it. I was trying to play it off, you know, but it was hurting, even inside the water. Imagine water baptizing 8 people and saying, me as a minister of the gospel, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But at the whole time, you're in pain on your toe. True story, though. Amen. And last one. Last one. Spiritual leadership as a father. A trait. It's another trait. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. The New Living Translation. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I may give you today. Look what he says. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, when you are on the road. Think about it. Look what he's saying. Teach your children, repeat them to them over and over. When you're at the house, at home, when you're on the road, when you're on your vehicle, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Spiritual leadership. A trait of a godly father. Hear me, men. Even if you say, Pastor, I don't pray, I don't read the word, I don't even know how to. Listen. Just start talking to God. Spiritual leadership is someone that leads family in prayer, some devotions, and worship. In other words, they see your lifestyle, they see your life. And not only that, I'm going to take it further, church. We live it. And everything I've been saying, it's not about being perfect, church. But all of us can strive to be better. And spiritual leadership also is when we point to our family. Or they see in us. Like this morning, they see you, that you're here at the house of God. Amen. You don't even know how much that says, men, fathers. And maybe, you know, your family's not here. But you don't know how powerful that is. And what a satisfaction to say, you know what? At the end of the day, I'm here at the house of God, worshiping and praising Jesus. And let me say this. I'm going to say something. I've said this once about family. Children, our children, they themselves, they watch more. They watch their life more than what we tell them. Our actions, what's that saying? Actions speak louder than words. They pay attention. They see, man, my father. Like that story I gave about that father and that son going to the gym. He started going because he saw his what? Father doing it what? Daily. Imagine spiritually when they see you. You're always in the house of God. You pray, or you know, you talk, you're at the table, you bring up a scripture, or maybe like today, you're listening to me right now, and you're at the table with your family, and you guys bring up something about what I taught this morning. Hope you do. And not, did you see the pastor with those white shoes he's wearing? Because as someone said, your life and my life, church, they ought to see who? Jesus. They ought to see Jesus. I heard something powerful. I had never heard this about leadership, but I just heard it. They asked a lady, she's a CEO of a company, and she said she heard that the greatest mark, and I'm going to compare it to something around, the greatest mark of a leader, she said this, that they taught her, this one word, is your absence. What does that mean? Well, let me give you an example in the church. When the pastor's not here, my absence, I'm not present. The church runs the way it should. Without the shepherd. As a father, a home should run and function when you're not around either. Everything gets done. And the respect and the honor. What goes in that home? Even when the father's not home, the dad. Come on, mothers, don't play it off. Dad's not here. Spiritual leadership.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at etngchurch.com.